Maybe they'll get in touch with you.
Welcome everybody out this morning.
Number 221.
I love you.
Before we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, I'm going to go to James chapter 1. Say amen when you get there. We'll start with verse 12. Blessed James chapter 1. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when the lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know, it's not of God that we're tempted. It is the devil that tempts us. You know, he's in our mind, and he'll get us out of church. He'll get us doing other things that we shouldn't be doing.
Bless you, brother.
And he'll get our mind on other things. And I'm guilty. You know, he's in my mind, and I have to fight with him. He is a roaring lion. And I know now, as I read, and I've got some more scripture I'm going to go to right now. In 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll start with verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resisteth steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know, this tells me that it's not just me, that all my brothers and sisters that is marching toward the cross to our heavenly city is fighting that battle. And I've heard Buford say it many times. You know, sometimes we just need comfort each other, you know. And I'm just so thankful that I have brothers and sisters that I can talk to. I believe I could call up on any one of you.
Bless you, brother.
And that you would talk to me. And I'm so thankful for that. And I'm thankful for our pastor that preaches the word. I know it has to be hard for him sometimes to get up here, but you know, with the mighty power of God by his side, he will deliver the word. I know that. And I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful for Buford. And I'm thankful for all the elders here, you know, that's been on this path, on this journey, you know. And we don't know how long our journey is going to be.
That's right.
But we've got to stay on that straight and narrow path until we make it. And I'm so thankful for each and every one. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning.
We're in this together, brother.
We sing a song about our victory in Jesus.
Amen.
I heard a story. I will sing again. Thank you.
God is good. He loves us all.
Amen.
Each and every one of us. And I'm so thankful for that. You know, I could have been in pits of hell right now. But he seen fit for me to let me have a chance to enter his kingdom.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for that. Anyone got anything on their heart this morning?
No.
If not,
all precious. Well, I know one thing, it's a deep well, ain't it?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Good to be here today. Appreciate the Lord. Appreciate his word. It don't matter what I say or what I think, he's right and I'm wrong.
Amen.
This book's right, and that's all we got to go by. Ain't it? And good to be in the house of God this morning. Turn your Bibles over to the book of Acts this morning. Thank you, young man. Appreciate you. I'll look at something right quick. This book is life, ain't it? And it's come to me during Sunday school and throughout the day and with so much going on. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read it right straight out of the Bible in Psalms 11:3. It said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that's a lot to think about this morning. But in the book of Acts, we want to look in the Word of God. And in the second chapter of Acts, I want you to turn over to the second chapter. I'm going to read three verses of scripture, and then we want to talk to you a little bit this morning about the Word of God. Acts chapter 2, verse number 39. It said, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this underward generation, crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You may be seated. Now, we're talking about the early church, the birth of the early church as we know it. When Jesus told them to go back and tarry and wait for the promise. And the promise came in Acts chapter 2. But there was also another promise made to a man. His name was David. And David didn't get to see it, but he knew it was a coming. He prophesied of it, and he knew that maybe he wouldn't literally get to see it with his eyes, but through his seed, through him, he would come to pass. And we know this morning, and I'm going to show you by the Word of God, you got to see and you got to hear. And I've been thinking a lot in the last several days. Church, we need to look around, wake up. I mean, I'm just going to share a few things going on around us. In New York right now, there's a woman wanting them to vote on where she can marry her son. Bruce Jenner, that used to be a man, now is a woman running for governor in California. Probably get it. Thing about it is, God's very first commandment is for us to hear, the Word of God. Mark chapter number 29, he said, the very first commandment is to hear, O Israel. Now Israel, he came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as would receive him gave us the ability and the power to be what? Become the sons of God. But the only way you can become the son of God and the child of God is to hear God. There's a lot of voices out there right now saying it's all right to do this, it's all right to do that, and this and that and the other. People ain't hearing God, they're hearing the world. They're not hearing what God says, but they're hearing what they want to hear. I believe there's some of you out there that could dedicate so much to this world and your home it's time to wake up and praise God, start looking around, seeing how severe this thing's becoming. It ain't going to be long, buddy, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus is a-coming, and he's coming without sin unto salvation. And he's going to come get his church one day, and everything else is going to be burnt up. So what does it matter what the world's saying? We ought to wake up to the Word of God. We ought to hear what's being said and what's being done. Now, I'm going to tell you something out there listening. You may be mad at me. You may be mad at somebody else. You may be mad at my wife. You may be mad at Debbie. You may be mad at all of us. But if you can't love the one you see, don't tell me you love God. Because the Bible said you're a liar. You can't love if you can't love the one you see, how can you love the one that you can't see? That Bible that I and you told around tells us it can't be done. We got to see and we got to hear. Jesus too many times opened the eyes of the blind, opened the deaf ears. Why? Because he wanted them to see and he wanted them to hear. Men and brethren, that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Men and brethren. Chapter number 2 of the book of Acts. I didn't have time to look and see how many times that men and brethren's in the Bible, but I'm sure it's more than the three times that I want to talk to you about this morning. Men and brethren, that means believers. I want you to hear something. I want you to respond to it. I want you to not only hear it, I want to see something out of it. You can say that you're a Christian, but your life and your works, it'll show it. Seen a good friend yesterday and hadn't seen him in a long time, and he said, I'm heading out for Panama City this morning. Come down the road this morning, hadn't loaded up, Donnie. You know who I'm talking about. Heading down to Florida. I mean, I ain't nothing wrong going places, going on vacations, but most of them need the Lord. I mean, I like to get away every now and then myself, but not every Sunday. Not half a dozen times a year. We ought to hear and we ought to see. Look around what's going on around us. Even in our own communities and our own lives, and how they're trying to push Christ out and push God out of things. And this world of unbelievers and infidels are trying to be leaders. And I tell you what that says. I'll tell you what, if the blind lead the blind, they're all going in the ditch. Amen. But I'm glad one day, praise God, there was a good Samaritan come by one day and got me up out of the ditch. Amen. And I begin to hear and begin to see things around me. But chapter number 2 of the book of David, or the book of Acts, which is the actions of the apostles. Acts chapter number 2. The Lord's talking about here, about David, a man that was after his own heart, and how that he told David there'd be one raised up out of his seed to sit upon the throne. And we know that was the Son of God. But in the 29th chapter of verse number 2 says, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that is, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto day. This is the message of the cross. This is a message of the gospel that Peter and John and Peter and Paul and these men that were part of the birth of the early church, they had a message. They're talking about the patriarch David. He's dead. His sepulcher, his tomb's still there. But we're not talking about him. We're talking about one that rose from the dead. Let's go on right here. He said, being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. You know, today there's actually people out there today teaching from behind the pulpit that David is going to sit on the throne at Jerusalem, and Jesus is going to, or David's going to sit on the throne of Israel, and Jesus is going to sit on the throne of Israel. What such foolishness! Why can't people open their eyes up and hear the message of the resurrection of the dead and realize, praise God, he's already on the throne? I'm not waiting on him to sit on the throne. He is on the throne, and whether I'll accept that, that's up to me. If I'll hear it and I'll see it. Let's go on right here. In verse number 31, and he's seeing, who David's seeing? Seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. I'm going to tell you something this morning. I don't believe Jesus' flesh ever saw corruptions. David's did. I don't believe the Son of God ever was in hell. I don't care what they say. I mean, there was one that had the keys of death, but thank God at Calvary, there was a key exchange at Calvary. Praise the Lord. I mean, our soul sometimes does feel like it's so hopeless and so doomed and so without. But when I think about the Christ that sitteth upon the throne, then I begin to hear and see. Let's just go on right here. And Jesus, verse number 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are his witnesses. Let me tell you something this morning, guys. If we're a witness of the Son of God, we ought to see and we ought to hear what he's saying. He don't change his word just because of this and just because of that. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he changeth not. Look right here. Men and brethren, verse number 33, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. See, John saw. Remember John, the forerunner of Christ. He said, there's one, I'll get to that, there's one coming after me that I'm not even worthy to even unlace the shoelaces and the shoes that he wear. John, the one that you see in the form of a dove come and light on him and stay on him and never leave him, never depart him. It's just like the olive leaf and that the dove brought into the ark. I mean, thank God. God this morning, he's alive and alive forevermore. Don't care what they say. He said, now he shed forth which you now see and hear, the Holy Ghost, evidence of it. You see it and you hear it. Verse number 34, for David is not ascended into heaven. But David said, he saith himself, the Lord sit upon the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou upon my right hand until I make thy footstool. Listen this morning. David knew there was a God. He knew there was a God in heaven. And he said right here that David didn't ascend into heaven. But the Bible said the Lord said unto my Lord, Lord, the God of heaven. He said, you just sit right still until my son maketh this world his footstool. All power in heaven and earth given unto him. I know this is a deep well, and I can't go over all of this this morning. But he said, verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. If he's not the Lord of your life, if he's not your master, if he's not the one that you follow, he can't be your Christ. He is the Christ, the Son of God, the perpetuation between God and man. That was rich, gave up, became a poor, and that you and I might be rich in the things of God. What is that? And that we might hear and see the Word of God. Amen. A lot of people got a Bible, they read it, but they don't know the author. I'm glad, praise God, I was introduced to the author one day by the Holy Ghost, and I heard it and I seen it and I received it, and praise God that that Holy Ghost baptized me into the body. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost baptizes you into the body. And after you're baptized into the body, you want to answer your conscience to God, show your wife and your husband and the world and your neighbors. And when you go down to the river and show the world that the old man's died and he's raised again in the newness of life. It's not the water in the river that washes away the sin. It's the water of the Word of God that cleanses and makes us whole. And thank God, I'm glad one day that we seen it and we heard it and we begin to see it. Amen. Through the eyes of faith. Amen. Faith is believing in something you can't see. I never seen Christ, but I saw him through the eyes of faith, hanging on the old cross of Calvary, dying for the sin of the world. What is the sin of the world? It's death. You'll cover your sins, but the sin of the world is death. That was pronounced on mankind in the Garden of Eden. Man was named to die, but sin separated us from God, and death was pronounced upon all mankind. And John said, behold the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world. Thank God I heard it and saw it one day, and you're listening to an old preacher that ain't never going to die.
Amen.
This body will see corruption. This inner man right here, I pray God there's something on the inside, a yearning, and it's just like a volcano ready to erupt for the anticipation of the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we'll leave here with a shout one day, and we'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And thank God, he that hath that hope justifies himself.
Amen.
Thus saith the Word of God. Mark 12:29, the very first commandment I leave, and I want you to know is to hear and see. But he says right here, let me go on. This is good. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that the God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And look right here at verse number 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall I do? What shall I do? Guys, this right here was the message from Pentecost and from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Men and brethren, what shall I do? Right here's what Peter said. He said, bless God to repent. Repent means to turn from. Repent. They said right here, Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter ain't saying to go get baptized with water and then reaches it. He said, praise God, repent. Realize and repent of your sins. Realize and repent that there's only one way to God's heaven, and that's through and by the shed blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. He said, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When I repented that day, now you'll have to agree with me this morning, when I walked over there, whatever how long it was, I'd wanted to, but the Lord wouldn't let me. But I went over there that day and I reached out and got Sammy by the hand. I just stuck my hand out. And when he stuck his hand out, there was a start of repentance in his heart. I don't know what it was, but I mean, I'd like to go get some but maybe some of them ain't ready to pick. But God sent me to him that day. And when I went to him, he had the spirit of repentance when I got a hold of him. He was sorry the way he'd lived. He was sorry the way he had treated God, and then so on and so forth. But Peter said, repent and be baptized. Show the world you've died out unto the sins of the world. And he said, and then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hey, some things, bless God, you're going to have to do yourself. By the help of the Lord, make your mind up. God ain't going to kick a door down. He's not going to make you hear. He's not going to make you see. He just gives you an offer to hear and an offer to see. But let's go on right here. In verse number 39, what I just read to you, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. How many will the Lord our God call? Them that getting under the sound of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the calling's been made. To whosoever you can get to come sit and listen. To whosoever might tune in out there. If you hear it and you see it, you'll do something about it. In verse number 40, it says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, save yourself unto this crooked generation. Preaching the same manner, the same things I'm saying. Bless God, look around at this world. Turn from it. Turn yourself from this generation that we're in. Turn to God and hear and see and believe the word of God. You don't have to listen to this crowd on television and on the radio preaching everything out there that wiggles. You better get your eyes on the cross. Amen. And if you hear and receive, praise God, you'll become part of the body of Christ. Now in verse number 41, he said, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now turn over with me to one more place. In the Word of God, you'll see this throughout the Scripture. I believe it's in the 12th chapter. In the 13th chapter of this same book. Acts 13. Talking about widows and widows and deeds in church, there was division in the early church about some part of some of them was being left out. That's when they chose men that matched this blessed old book and sent them out to do the things of God. We just got to see it and hear it. Believe it. Division. He'll always cause division. He didn't come to. He come to set things straight. But in the 13th chapter, in the 26th verse, it says, men and brethren. Here we are again, men and brethren. Children of the stock of Abraham. And whosoever among you that feareth God, to you is the word of the word of salvation sent. Hey, everybody out there, the message of salvation is sent to all of us. But you got to hear it and you got to receive it. If you don't hear it, you can't receive it. How will they hear without a preacher? How will he preach unless it be sin? I didn't say God did. How are we going to receive it if you don't hear it? We're in a sad day, guys. Look at our church world today. It's a declining day. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Don't need God no more. We can't do it no more. We can't meet the qualifications no more. Are we just going to throw in the towel and quit? God help us not to quit. Let's shine the light to the gospel of this dying world. Yeah. I'll tell you something. Buford read something this morning. It's hard for a pastor to do when he sees you sin and rebuke you openly. You don't see that and you don't hear that no more. Just wonder, I wonder today if I would see you sinning out somewhere doing something wrong, and I rebuked you openly in front of the whole church. I tell you what happened. Yet most churches would raise so much hell, run the preacher off, and wouldn't have the word of God. That's the truth, and you know it, but if you'll swallow it, you might receive it. Pride's got us in the place now. We're afraid of our salaries if we get taken away. We're afraid of, I fear God more than I fear men. Amen. It's the truth. But anyway, verse number 27. For they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew it not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which were read every Sabbath day, and they have fulfilled them in condemning him. They read the scripture. They read the scripture every Sabbath of the things concerning fulfilling him, and they seen it and they wouldn't hear it, and they hung the man on the tree. Why? To get rid of him. Didn't want him to take over. You'll find that everywhere you go, and every place you'll ever be, is the rulers and the ones that's over it. When they won't accept the truth, they'll hang the man on the tree, leave him out to dry. Well, because verse 27 again, for they that dwelled at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which were read every Sabbath day, that they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. Certain time of the year they released a prisoner. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. The crowd, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. I don't know, but I know what to say. He washed his hands and he said, do as you will. And the rulers and the crowd hollering, crucify him. They had Barabbas, a murderer, released. I mean, I know the scriptures must be fulfilled, but God's trying to show us a point here. That's what people would rather have now. This killing world that we're living in. Let me tell you something. God talks about an ostrich bearing its eggs. God talks about, will a mother forsake her young? Yay! Yay! Yeah, they're going to. They will. But he said, I'll never forsake you. I'll be your mother. I'll be the church, the mother church. I'll be your father, your heavenly father. And I say one thing this morning, guys. This is the same message that those men preached over 2,000 years ago. Is to hear and to see and believe the word of God. Don't believe what I say. If it matches this book, believe it. Let's go on right here so I can get done. Verse Verse 28 again, and though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, now the Bible don't make no mistakes. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him. So is there anything else to come? Is there anything else that he has to do or is going to do? They took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. Boys, right there is where the trouble started, when the resurrection of the dead began and took place. Because you know what? He came to take away the sin of the world. Take away death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? It's swallowed up, brother. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God that he loved us and gave heaven's best. He died on the cross. He died. He gave up the ghost. But on the third day, he arose from the dead. And he's still alive today. My God's alive. My God stirs me, convicts me, leads me, and guides me, and helps me along the journey. Why is that? Because I heard his voice one day. And I repented. Verse 31. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. Hey, for 3.5 years when he was baptized in the River Jordan, for 3.5 years he had a ministry here on this earth, and he chose a lot of people and helped a lot of people, and we are the witnesses of that today. What is that? We've seen and heard it. Let me get over here. Verse 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto our fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, and is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on the wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. What is that? He's on the throne, beloved. Abraham, listen, guys, I don't care where you look in the Bible, you'll find Jesus. And Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his family. What is that? And the earth was destroyed by water. And not water no more, but by fire. And Noah was, let's go come back to Abraham, to Adam and Eve. I mean, there, the perfection of God, and the fellowship of God, as sin separated us from God, and the angel with the sword, keeping us out of the garden, and Noah and Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the patriarchs of God, they're pointing to the Son of God, and all's been fulfilled in him. And praise God, this morning he's on the throne and we are his witnesses. Amen. It don't take me but 1 or 2 minutes to tell who's on your throne by your life and your actions. Just like those boys and girls saying, I see what those men wear. I see what they say. You can say a lot. A lot of times what you say don't match up to who you are. Let me finish. Verse 35, wherefore he also in another Psalms, Thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. He didn't see the corruption. His body didn't rot. His body didn't decay. like David's and all the other patriarchs did. They're still in the tombs. There's a bunch of them got up at his resurrection. There's a lot waiting. I went to bed last night, best night's sleep I've had, I don't know how long. Went to sleep at 11 o'clock, never woke up till 6. Don't remember a thing. Good night, good morning. Praise the Lord, it's quick. 1,000 years a day, and a day is 1,000 years. Verse 36, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God. Did you know this morning you're serving God in your generation? You know you're writing a book. You're leaving something behind. You're leaving somebody. You're leaving something and a legacy for somebody to follow. David served in his generation. David made mistakes. David repented. David was sorry. Got up and followed the Lord. For David, after he had served in his own generation by the will of God, fell on asleep and was laid in the and laid in his father and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it, look, here it is, guys, here it is again. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, Let me say of a surety this morning, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. I know that, behold, the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world, death, but I know it tells me along the way I'm going to have forgiveness of sins. No, not one. No, not none good. No, not one. But thank God he made me good through the blood of Christ. And when I fail and come short of the glory of God, when I read what Sammy read there, when I'm drawn away up of the lust of my own heart and enticed and give in and sin, it brings shame and separation and condemnation. But when I willingly and say, God, I'm sorry for my sins and repent of my sins, He paid God, he brings me, he takes away that condemnation, that shame and that reproach, and praise God, sets me right back on the road. I don't know, boys. There ain't nothing else to preach. That through this man is preached unto you for forgiveness of sin, verse 39, and by him all that believe are justified from all things. What you got to do, you got to hear it and see it, you got to believe it. If you do that, you'll be justified. Justification means justified. Never done it. The only way you can get forgiveness of sins, forgiveness of the old ways, is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ that took my sin and your sin and nailed it to the tree, and he died. Sin is what brought death to the Son of God. But thank God for the life of the resurrection through the power of God the Father. He raised him from the dead. And wherever this man's preached for the forgiveness of sins, it ought to, if you'll hear it and see it, you'll do something about it. Amen. That was the message from the cross. That was the message at Calvary. That was the message at Pentecost. 39, and by him all that believed are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. They brought a sacrifice every year to be offered. I mean, this is a deep well. The Levitical laws and things that they had to do and things that they had to perform. People couldn't be justified by that because he always had the remembrance of it. Thank God he took it away at Calvary. Yeah, right. Justified, never sinned. Verse number Beware therefore lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Now you pay attention this morning. Behold, you despisers and wonders and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto ye. Even though the old preacher down at Lick Creek, he'll declare the word of God to you, ye despisers of the word, ye won't hear it. Looky on. But I'm gonna close right here. There's been times in my Christian life that I didn't agree with God. It wasn't that I despised it. I just wouldn't agree with him. Had to ponder on it a little bit. Even though I was convicted over it, I came to realize that's God's word and that's God's way. I'm going to have to live up to it. And you know why there were souls added to the church every day? Because they believed this book. They seen it, they heard it, and they believed it. And when you believe it, you'll begin to perform it. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Men and brethren, ye of the seed of David, ye of the stock of Abraham, ye of the general assembly, ye of the house of God, the church of the firstborn, see it, hear it, believe it, and perform it. And there'll be a performance come out of you, won't they? Anything before we dismiss this morning? I tell you what, let's all bow our heads and we're going to sing Amazing Grace. Call or call this morning, don't usually do this. I don't know, it might be somebody here wants to pray. We don't know your mind, we don't know your heart, but God does. Your heart may be pitter-patting in your chest, you may feel discomfort. The Word of God brought discomfort to you, that's what it's supposed to do, just respond to it. Amazing grace, how sweet. I once was lost, but now I find, but now I see. God's grace. Come on now. Don't put it off. You what? I first believed. Thank God for His mercy.
Praise God.
Let everything that hath breath praise Him. I remember a time in my life that I couldn't praise Him. But when I got saved, He allowed me to do that. And even after I got saved, guys, let me remind you of this. It wasn't long we was in church, and they was having a foot washing. Boy, that was a little bit too religious for me. I didn't understand all of it then, and I just didn't feel worthy. And I come to find out, because that I saved, I was worthy, but I just hadn't heard it and seen it right the way that I needed to. But I'm glad He opened my eyes up one day, and I found out the servantship of it is this right here. My privilege to get to reach down and touch Brother Buck's feet and pray, and God would bless him in his life and his footsteps. It's a servantship and a spirit of humility and honoring your brothers. Love yourself. Thank God He made us worthy one day.
Amen.
Anything spiritually before we dismiss? Come back tonight at 6:00. We'll have church. Before we dismiss tonight, there's been three or four donated $100. Edwin and Abby and someone been talking about the need back there to make that thing better, to get them out of that hole so they can come and be a part of it, but yet they're still going to need a little help. There's been four or five, and one man don't even know the Lord. As far as I know, he's going to give $100, and we're going to give $100 as well. And that makes about $300 or $400. But you pray about that thing, and just if you want to donate $100 or $20, whatever you want to help on that machine back there. Because about every service he'll say, we're having trouble with it. And if we can make it better and you feel like you want to be a part of that, you can do that.
You're talking about the electronics back there.
Yeah, it's a new computer instead of that laptop. I don't know what they need. I know about much about. I know more about a twine string than a bale of hay now. But
we just know you're gonna get somebody out of a hole. We didn't know what to say. I know.
Yeah, you didn't elaborate.
What do you mean?
Oh, back there. You're getting somebody out of the hole. We didn't know.
Well, I mean, Abby misses out on a lot. He gets to come out and sit on the back row and he'd like to be like some of you, get up a little closer to the front sometimes along the way, you know what I mean? That's a lot for one to carry. So please pray about helping him with that.
We just sing to Vicki this morning.
Vicki's birthday?
Yes.
Praise God. Happy birthday
to you.
37 years old.
Happy birthday.
Was Caleb in the Word of God when he's 84 years old? He said, "Give me this mountain." He said, "I feel just as good today as I did 40 years ago when the Lord spoke to me." You know, it had been the inner man talking. Praise the Lord.
That would have been my dad's birthday too.
Same
day.
Bless you, Rex.
My best birthday
you've
ever had.
We better get out of here before them brothers get puffing up on us. Jody, good to have you back in church. Dismiss us in prayer, will you, brother?